The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What can be done about wandering thoughts during prayer? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You may have questions you'd like Dr. Bob or Sean to answer. You can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show, and a special welcome to all our new listeners or more recent listeners who are kind of getting into the groove of listening to me and Bob talk and jabber and about the topics of Bible and theology. And I think
we jabber, Sean?
Well, I don't know. I think some people, like, what is it? What's the other word I'm looking for? Banter.
Banter.
The banter, right?
Well, I think we have some banter.
We have some banter.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't go anywhere, like right now. But sometimes we have good banter. It's just that this month we have just so much to do.
Right. Now, when people are hearing this, it'll be about six weeks from now because we record pretty far in advance. But our conference is next week, our national conference.
Right.
And so, yeah, we've got lots of things going on, and we keep recording so that when something like the conference comes, we don't get behind.
Right, right. Actually, no, I read something recently. Have you ever been, like, praying and your thoughts were kind of wandering? Wandering prayer?
No, the question is, have I ever been praying and my thoughts didn't
wander?
where there wasn't a struggle? And
yeah.
The answer is, yeah, it's always a struggle. And I think the reason it's a struggle is because we live in a very complicated world. We have lots of stimuli, lots of things pressing in on us, and it's hard to be totally free from those things which come at us. And
right.
So when we pray, we have to basically overcome. Now, with me, I like to pray when I'm walking.
Mm-hmm.
That helps a lot because I'm now not in a room, and I'm not hearing phones ringing, and I'm not hearing people talking, and I'm out walking in nature, or at least if I'm on the streets, you know, I'm not, you know, hearing much traffic noise or whatever. And that helps me.
Right. Well, you know, I often get down on myself when I'm kind of, you know, distracted in prayer. But I recently heard an exchange between two people, or maybe read an exchange between two people. And this one person was, I think it was a girl. She was expressing this really beating herself up, you know, about her thoughts wandering in prayer. And the other person, I think it was a pastor, said, "This isn't a huge spiritual problem. Do your thoughts wander in your school when the teacher's lecturing?"
Right.
So what do you do then? You got to discipline yourself to
and
listen,
focus.
Right?
Right.
Have you ever been talking to a friend and the person just goes on and your thoughts begin to wander? It's not a spiritual issue. That's just, you know, you have to just learn to be disciplined and just focus on what the person is saying. And it's the same thing with prayer, this guy said. He was like, it's not that you're like some type of, this is a spiritual fall having, you know, your thoughts wander. It's just a matter of discipline. Just, this is a natural thing that happens, and just learn to discipline it yourself and focus on God.
And I might point out one way to improve your ability to focus is to cut down on your use of media. Cut down on the use of your cell phone, for example. I wrote an article recently, and I did research for the article, and it said among teens, they're watching, if I remember right, they use their cell phones about 6 hours a day.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And people in their 20s and 30s, it's more like 8 hours a day.
Right.
They're on the phone even when they're going out to eat.
Yeah.
So you've got a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and they're both on their cell phone texting or doing something instead of talking to each other.
I'm on my phone right now as you're talking.
Oh, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, but you know my point, and the same thing is true with video games. I mean, people get attached to those things, or they get attached to Facebook or these other things. And what I would suggest is cut down on those things and also find some quiet place where you can pray.
Yeah.
That helps cut down on distractions. But part of it is just learning how to focus better, because you can learn to focus better at school and at church too.
Sure, sure. So it's really an issue of discipline and common sense.
Right.
Right? I mean, that applies to almost any time when you're trying to focus on anything, you know.
Right. We unfortunately, because of cell phones and laptops and television and all these things, people have gotten shorter and shorter attention spans, and their ability to focus becomes more difficult. And so it helps if you do cut down on some of those things which shorten your attention span. And it also helps if you do things like we used to do Sporkle with the countries of the world, and
we would do
that. That helps me focus. It helps me to concentrate.
Yeah.
You and I both like to read.
Yes.
If you actually read books, it helps you to concentrate.
Oh, yeah. I do art. I've gotten back into art now that Daphne's a little bit older and she's doing it. And you just zeroed in on the page and I'm doing my lines and my colors and whatnot.
It helps you focus,
and
right?
You're just focusing on it. Yeah, definitely. Well, so discipline. I don't know. I guess that was my question to start off the episode. What do we do about wandering thoughts in prayer? Let's take a question from one of our listeners.
Okay.
This is from Robert. And he says, if I ask for patience in my situation and believe God for it and then fail, was that lack of faith or disobedience, dead faith? I think what I'm trying to think of what the question is here. The question is, if he asks for patience, and what does he mean when he fails? He isn't patient? Is that a question of dead faith for him?
Well, I would say the answer is no. A part of the problem is there are issues like patience or anxiety where we can be beset by anxiety, not because we have some spiritual problem in our life, but because we grew up, let's say, in a situation where there was a lot of turmoil, a lot of abuse, or because I spent time in Afghanistan or Iraq and I now have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
There are situations where people have issues with their brains that make them less patient and more anxious. And in those cases, what the people may need is some medication in cases. Sometimes they need counseling. Sometimes they need more exercise.
Yeah.
If they get exercise and get the endorphins going, it decreases the anxiety. It increases the patience.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest is, yes, you're to pray for things, but when what you're praying for is something that has some sort of a root issue in your life that's related to your biology, related to your brain chemistry, well, then you need to deal with that somehow.
Right. And also, I don't think things like patience, there's no quick fix. There's no overnight thing where, you know, on Monday you lack patience, you pray for it, and Tuesday you're a patient dude. It's like wisdom. It's like you can pray for wisdom, but that doesn't mean you become wise overnight. It's an incremental thing.
Well, that's a good point, although Robert's probably thinking of like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. But what you need to understand there, Robert, is that all those fruit of the Spirit are community or corporate issues.
Yeah.
They're body of Christ issues. And so it's saying that God is giving you patience toward other brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean when you're sitting at the traffic light and you're really wanting to go that suddenly you're going to just be real patient waiting for the light. Or if the elevator is slow in coming, you're not going to be patient. That's talking about patience between people and that we're able to be patient with other brothers and sisters.
I also think about the parable of the four soils and, you know, the one plant doesn't bring fruit to maturity. So it has a little bit of fruit. And then the one in the good soil brings fruit to maturity. But you don't bring fruit to maturity overnight either.
Right. And in the parable of the four soils, the soil you're talking about, the third soil, the problem is it says the cares, riches, and pleasures of life chokes out its effectiveness.
Yeah.
And so what you have there is cares can be something which keep us from being fully fruitful.
Yeah.
And so we need to cast our cares upon him.
Yeah.
Money can do that. And so we need people who aren't seeking to be rich and who don't make it our aim. And we're not focusing all the time on, well, let's see, how is our portfolio doing today? What's this stock doing?
Hey, were you watching me?
I'm sorry.
Were you peeking on me?
No, I wasn't peeking. But you know what I mean? It's possible for all of us. And then the other thing is, the pleasures of life. It's fine to like golfing or fishing or hunting.
Right.
But if all you're thinking about is, I can't wait until I'm out there fishing again, or I can't wait until I'm out there hunting again, yeah, that's going to choke out your effectiveness.
Okay, so this is what I hear you saying. So if you're praying for something like patience, there are things that you have to do.
Right.
It's not just God who's going to snap his fingers and give you patience. There's also the things in your life that are maybe hampering you from developing that fruit.
Exactly.
You need to deal with.
And this goes back to the previous question. We were talking about things like cell phones and laptops and TV. All those things can create anxiety in your life, and they can create stress in your life, and they can distract you. So you need to somehow find balance in your life.
So let me go back to Robert's question then. He asked, was this lack of faith or an example of dead faith?
Neither one.
Well, in James, a dead faith is a faith that you haven't put into practice, right?
Right. I don't know if that's what Robert means,
right,
but if that's what he means, okay. But even there, it's not necessarily faith you haven't put into practice. It may simply mean you need more time to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he's a relatively new believer, that's one thing. If he's been a believer for 50 years, well, that's another thing. Of course, also, there are seasons of life, right? And so if I'm in one of those seasons of life, even if I'm older, where I'm under a lot of stress right now,
yeah,
well, then that requires additional patience.
Yes.
Yes, we should be praying about these things. But as you say, we also need to take the steps necessary to be moving us in the right direction, which includes, of course, setting under sound Bible teaching.
Well, thank you for the question, Robert, and thank you for those thoughts, Bob. If you like this program, we'd encourage you to support it with your giving. Thank you for those who do and make this possible. It's just amazing we get to do this and the response that we've gotten. We know from the encouraging letters that we're helping you guys, you know, think through the Bible and theology. But guess what? You are helping Bob and I think through the Bible and
theology.
Absolutely. So thank you for helping us. You're doing us a favor. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Have a good day.
Yes, have a good day. And we have the best questioners on the planet.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website, and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about whether there will be non-believers in heaven. So join us. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.